This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by OTBDiscs.com. Only the Best Discs has a huge selection with high-quality pictures of each disc, actual disc weights, flatness, and stiffness listed. Did I mention fast shipping? Get it free on your next order at OTBDiscs.com using promo code DGPODCAST. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 247 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
Hey, friends. I feel like we recorded last week, but I feel like...
We did.
We weren't really there. Like, I'm ready now. Like, I'm into it. I'm hyped up.
Is it because football season started? Is that why you're...
Maybe.
Is that why?
By maybe, I mean 100%. 100%. This time last year when football came back, and I'm sorry, especially to our patrons who just listened to basically a football pre-show.
And if you're into that, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast, pre-show recordings before every single episode, you get them there. It's great.
Who knows? Yeah. We might just go to just doing football podcasts on the side to add on top. Who
Fantasy
knows?
Football advice. We could put Start Sid advice on our website and like start charging for those tiers.
Yeah.
Could be fantastic. Nobody has thought to do that in the fantasy community yet.
And my teams are obviously all amazing everywhere. I'm definitely not getting destroyed in one or two of them right now.
I'm getting gronked at the moment.
You're getting gronked hard.
I'm getting gronked so hard. He is yo soy fiesting this ass right now. Like
he's spiked a ball and it went straight into your sphincter.
Yeah. Yep, pretty much. I felt it twice. Yeah. Didn't know that was possible, but it's happening.
But yeah.
So,
but what I was saying is this time last year, I guess I was still in football's not really going to happen. Like there's not really going to be a season. Like this is going to get shut down. I put in no research. I didn't pay attention to anything. And you can tell by my 2-3 turn double tight end pickup in one of my leagues that I was not paying attention or ready for it. I'm so ready for it this year. This might be like the year I've been looking forward to football more than any year in the past like 6 years. I'm pumped.
And to those of you that tuned into this disc golf podcast hoping for disc golf information, we're so sorry.
No, we'll get there. We'll get there. I'm just saying I'm in a great mood, which is going to make the podcast better when we start, like when we get to the point.
I mean, I guess
at some point when we start talking about disc golf, because that'll happen at some point.
I guess just it's a little unprofessional as a hard-hitting disc golf news outlet for us to spend this amount of time talking about football. You know what I mean? It just seems a little disingenuous for our journalistic record to be... You know, just kind of a little bit sullied by...
One, I'm trademarking right now. Two, can you see if this website is available? We have Disc Golf Network. We have Ulta World, probably like the best place to find news.
Uh-huh.
Is there a Disc Golf News Network?
I wasn't typing at the time, so I'm going to go with yes. It's available, and we're going to start it.
So starting in like 4 days from now when we like finalize it, you can go to DGNN.
Uh-huh.
And we got all the hard-hitting disc golf news.
How about DG Onion? And
well, what about DGNN?
I mean, that would probably be...
What about DGNN, which is actually DG Onion?
DG Onion.
Like, that's what it is. It's basically just reverting you to throwstuffatstuff.com, which, you know, don't take anything we say as, like, fact or, like, researched material.
Kevin Jones arrested in Arkansas for trying to buy marijuana at a Taco Bell.
Yeah. For smoking the doobies. Just kidding. He would never do that. And no, I am not blatantly winking at Robin right now. Because that dude is definitely not a quesadilla guy.
I mean, you could have fun with that. I mean, we already have plenty of satire in disc golf at this point.
I'm going to buy that. I bet that's like DGNN. That's got to be.
There's too many DGN stuffs. Like, it's got to be. At some point, people gotta stray away from the...
I guess we could just, like, DG News.
But that's the same as Disc Golf Network. Like, you can't...
But it's DGNEWS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, so
But you'd never abbreviate it DGN.
You can't.
Okay.
Because DGN's already a thing.
Okay. Or we could just, like, call it the turnip or something like that, you know? I don't know why turnip, but...
Well, it's a, something that grows underground, like an onion. It's not as... I mean, the beet might be better, but that's probably owned. Because, like, the beet is, like, the underground... Sorry, Dwight Schrute. The underground, like, vegetable that nobody really cares about.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, you might be right. The turnip might actually be the one. Or, you know, it happens a lot and people care about it, but, like, overall it's kind of just bland and boring, so maybe the potato? I don't know.
OTB skins matches ousted as major drug operation.
Oh, dude, yeah. Turns out the skins, quote unquote, are just a way for them to move kilos of marijuana.
Exactly. All these bands.
Here's all your winnings. I'm winking again. Just, you know, here's all your winnings. Here's your hundreds of dollars you just won.
Coincidence that all these disc golfers are driving around the country in vans and buses and RVs. Yeah, yeah, what's the best way to move contraband around the country? Vans and buses and RVs, people. Open up your eyes. This is the kind of stuff we're going to be reporting
on.
Oh,
you know what? Like, I have your cash for you, but it's over in the next town. since you're going over there and you're going to go see my guy who has your cash, can you bring this duffel bag with you? Like, that'd just be super helpful. I'd really appreciate it.
since you're going to be crossing state lines anyway.
Yeah.
Could you?
By the way, like, just don't open it. Like, it's, you know, it's like, he's a really good friend and it's like really private stuff that it's like inside jokes. Like, it's kind of a big deal. He'll understand if you opened it and it might ruin a friendship. So could you please don't open the bag at all? And if anyone asks,
I mean, Ricky Wysocki would totally do that. He'd just be like, oh man, yeah, sure. Totally, dude.
Oh my gosh.
Ricky.
What if Rick just gets popped for smuggling insane amounts of drugs? And he's like, wait, what?
You're like, Ricky, I need you to take my special basketball with you across the border and then give it back to me. Don't play basketball with it.
It
doesn't bounce very well.
All of these boxes are...
this is a really heavy basketball.
These are all signature Ricky Wysocki discs, but I want you to look at them. I don't want you to, like, ruin the surprise of the super cool stamp we have. Like, that will just ruin our partnership. So just bring all of these disc boxes to me at this, you know, said spot. And then I will, you know, once I receive them and make sure they're all the stamp we thought about, I'll show them to you.
Yes. I like it. I think it'd totally work.
Yeah. Why do you think? No, I was about to go in a real bad place. Nope. I feel like you should talk about where we're going to talk. I think we need to get past this. I think we.
Now that we've covered the news,
we done did enough. Yep.
We've got a great show for you guys tonight. We are going to.
Time out. Stop. I'm stopping you. We have multiple times made amazing predictions. Totally on accident. I mean, totally on purpose because we're hard-hitting news. If this happens in the next 6 months, if someone gets arrested for this shit, like, I think we need to stop talking news because I think we've turned into the moment of Surf Ninjas. Brian, I know you got me. You know what's going on? Where we just can make the future happen with our predictions.
I don't get it because I've never seen Surf Ninjas.
Dude.
So.
You're missing out so hard. You know what we just watched? We were trying to get into this.
Here's the thing. What if I watch Surf Ninjas and I hate it and you just don't want to be friends with me again?
Oh, that's not possible. It's not possible.
It could be.
Nope.
It could be.
Do you know who Ernie Reyes Jr. is?
No.
Do you know who Kino is from Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze?
I'm going to say yes, but no.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Do you know, like, the kid who was, like, their friend who, like, tried to join the foot and all that stuff? That's Ernie Reyes Jr.
Okay.
He's the main character of Surf Ninjas.
Okay.
Rob Schneider's also like a teenager in it.
Oh, great. Rob Schneider has...
No, it's good. It is it is fantastic. It is very good. And before I let you get back to actual disc golf stuff, we watched, as a family, Encino Man this weekend. Holds up. Holds up.
It does, just saying. Huh?
Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, now that we've covered the most important news in the disc golf world, we got to tell you what we're going to talk about on the show.
See, I made a different noise because it's a copyrighted music.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I did that.
Because you're a company
That's the disc golf. That's the disc golf news network breaking news.
It's our soundboard. Someone is blowing me up on a group chat and it needs to fucking stop.
Is it because you're getting blown up?
I'm getting absolutely just massacred in my fantasy football team. Anyways, we got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to recap the MVP Open. We're going to talk about the Green Mountain Championship briefly because it's in progress. We can't really do our picks anymore. Because we're huge pieces of crap and didn't record this before it started. Then we're going to do our world-famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we are going to do the M Model OS by Prodigy Discs, mid-range disc sent to us by Christopher Eplin, CEP, in Slack, one of our moderators. Awesome dude.
The man.
And
we almost should have saved this because he's sending us beer right now, but whatever. He sent us hella discs. We have so many discs we can review.
There's other
him.
Things. It'll be fine. We'll talk about him next week too.
Love you.
And I face him in two different fantasy football leagues this week too. So that's cool.
Is he doing doo-doos on you right now?
No, he's not. Oh, that's good. He's not. And then, six speed, four glide, minus one turn, three fade. And we are pairing that with Bastard's Midnight Brunch by Arrogant Bastard Brewing Company. This is like a 12.7% coffee stout. And
it's a barrel-aged 2016. It's going to do some
barrel-aged, yeah. So
I probably shouldn't drink these beers that I drank now that I'm thinking
about
it. They
say depth-charged double bastard ale aged in bourbon barrels and maple syrup barrels. So it's going to be like coffee and syrup and bourbon and 12.7%. So should be no reason for this podcast to go off the rails at any point. I think it should be probably pretty consistent. And
it'll probably be totally fine.
I need to put my phone on silent because
whom knows, we might have a post show / podcast for our disc golf league when we finish this.
Yeah.
You might be able to post it to both places.
All right, Joe. So MVP Open. Always love talking about Maple Hill. Like,
yep.
It's so much fun to watch every year, and you know you're going to get to see awesome play. And we got to see aces. We got to see an incredible course. We got to see great play. And it's one of the ones I look. Actually, I just in general kind of really like this stretch, like the Green Mountain Championship and MVP Open. I love both of these courses.
Yep.
Like I just do. They're so beautiful and I think they're well laid out and they're challenging. And we also get to see really big shots, but we get to see some technical stuff. And I like the balance of these courses.
We had just such an abundance of ball golf courses to start the season too.
Yeah.
There's like a nice run of just like, this is disc golf. Like,
yeah. And like coming through like Delaware, obviously like so wooded and probably a little too wooded in places.
Yep.
Where like you're looking at it on film and you're like, where is the line? Like how you're watching this disc and I'm like, how did that not hit? And obviously there's a line, you just can't see it because all the trees are, you know, in camera view, you can't see where that tunnel is. But it's just like, wow, is that like, how are they even getting through this? But I really love these two courses, and
these are poke and pray courses for players like us.
Yeah,
this is like, I'm just gonna throw it and like just hope I get through. Whereas the pros are like, I'm trying to put it through this stupid gap.
Yeah,
and a lot of them do.
Yeah, so I just really enjoy it every time. I guess we'll get right into scores. I mean, you just said it. Poke and pray versus pros lacing fairways, and the winner of this an MPO, what he did was freaking pipe it down the fairway.
right.
the entire time.
But before we get to him, I want to talk about, I believe, our second place player. Let me double check. Oh, no, our third place player. I do want to just give a shout out. And if you watched, you know, he had a really rough final round. Not saying he gave it up, because I think the winner really did push and assert himself to take the win. It wasn't, you know, it was a mixture of both. But for the fact now that Eagle has been the winner or top five in multiple kind of tough wooded courses, has added a new layer to the greatness that is Eagle. There was a few years ago that it was like Bombers, his main place. He struggles in woods somewhat. He'll have a really good round. Like inconsistent. I mean, I guess we have inconsistencies here.
He tied for second place, by the way.
Oh, he tied. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. I just saw his name below. Tied for second. Like, he is maturing. He is figuring it out.
I have the opposite take. He was visibly completely frustrated.
That final round.
And not putting well. And while he was playing great, I mean, he was going into that second round. At the end of the second round, I'm like, ain't nobody taking this from Eagle McMahon.
Right.
He's going to come out and posterize this course again tomorrow and walk away with a huge victory. And then he came out in the front nine and just...
Well, unfortunately, that's a regular thing for Eagle, even on big, wide open courses, is hit final day and not execute and be kind of not there.
I don't know if it's fine. He just has like, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily final day, but he has rounds.
Yeah.
Where you're just like,
I feel like it's more, in my mind,
you were unbeatable.
It's
yesterday.
More between the ears than it is. Skill set, and I'm just saying his skill set has improved in woods this year.
Yeah. I mean, there were even ones where it's like, you know, they're saying on the live broadcast, you know, they're saying like huge advantage for Eagle here with his massive forehand, and then he shanks it.
And then he puts into a tree.
And you're like,
first available.
You're like, oh, okay. Well, and Adam Hammes just kept piping it down the middle and barely made any mistakes at all. Ricky had an incredible, you know, final
round.
Came
off chase card.
Came off chase card.
Second chase or chase?
I think chase.
Yeah.
You know, had a great, great final round to come up and tie for second. But, I mean, you know, Eagle, you know, shooting only two under in that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not one of those obvious, Eagle gave it away or Adam Hammes took it. I think it was a pretty clean mixture of the two. Of Hammes being like, this is mine, I'm going to go get it, and Eagle falling apart. Enough that in the end it wasn't close. It was close for the first, 12 holes, 15 holes, and then it kind of just got away and was like, okay.
Yeah, it became...
Adam just needs
to... Well, I forget what hole it was. I want to say it was... like hole 16 or 17. I think it was 17 where Hammes, he took the birdie for a two-stroke lead and Eagle couldn't make the connection from circle two.
And he missed
some
putts too. Like, it's not like, you know, Hammes had an amazing drive and Eagle had shit. It was like Eagle was multiple times in the front nine, multiple times Eagle had a chance to save par or birdie and didn't convert.
No, it was definitely that. And Hammes wasn't like banging from circle two all over the place or anything like that. He was just driving so incredibly well that he was there. He made one circle two putt.
Yep.
And
you know,
then,
he was just
and his C1X and, you know, in the final round was only 83%. And for the tournament, let's see, total. So for the tournament, it was 88. So that's not fantastic.
No.
But
Adam's someone we, you know, he won earlier this year. I forget the tournament. Do you remember?
No, why do you always do that?
I'm sorry. I'm just saying he won another Disc Golf Pro Tour event this year, which was a big deal. His first one. And he has asserted himself like he can do it. He is someone that I think we don't talk about enough with being a multi-tool player. Like he has close to elite forehand and backhand. Maybe you could say elite. I'm not sure with either. Maybe forehand's elite, backhand's real close. But he is probably top 15 in each, which is huge.
So he won the
Las Vegas
Maricopa Open, and he won the Masters Cup.
Masters, that's the one. That's the one I was thinking about. That was a big deal.
And he won the Resistance Open.
Yep.
The Silver Series. So he has and the Shelly Sharp Memorial. So
yeah,
has,
but
his
Masters,
four wins. But in terms, Masters, those others were A/B tiers, and so he has two. And then the Resistance Open, the Silver Series, was a B tier. And then he has the Maple Hill, which is an A tier. Not A tier.
Maple Hill and De La, like, you are a very good disc golfer. You are a very good woods disc golfer. Like, well done, sir.
No, he was fantastic. I mean, mostly he just seemed to be always going right down the middle of the fairway and was never in trouble. And he made most of the putts that he should have. And, you know, he didn't have to fend off a massive charge from Eagle. I think Eagle knew that if he was on his game that day, that he could have easily taken this tournament and probably won handily. But, you know, like Eagle was only two down in that final round. Had he shot like even an okay round for himself
for
throughout
Eagle,
this tournament, for Eagle, he is winning by a stroke, and if he shoots a great round, he's winning by three or four. So, you know, but nine down by Hammes in the final round, that's pretty incredible. You know, that's a
fantastic
great comeback win.
Oh, definitely.
So, you gotta tip your hat. So, even though we're saying Eagle, you know, it was hard to watch, but Hammes was super consistent, only one bogey. He was constantly down the middle of the fairway in perfect position, and he made just enough putts to make it happen. So that's a fantastic round and a fantastic closeout from a tournament that I thought was in Eagle's clutches, you know.
Oh, totally. I mean, going to that final day, everyone was like, all right, well, he's just going to wrap this up and we'll move forward. So it was great to see some movement and some big stuff happen there.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll run down the score real quick for y'all. Adam Hammes, like we said, finished in first at minus 22, tied in second. Ricky Wysocki, good old Rick, and Eagle McMahon, both at minus 19. Matt Bell, look at that DGA-sponsored beast, minus 16 in fourth, tied with Calvin Hamburg and Heimberg and Matty O. Big ups to Heimberg. Never aced in a tournament before this year, aced here on hole five. He also aced, if you don't remember, at the Stockton Open. So great for him. Tied for seventh, Andrew Marwee, Joel Freeman at minus 14. And then in ninth, Thomas Gilbert and Ben Callaway, both at minus 13. Honorable mention, maybe washed up, minus 12, Paul McBeth.
Yeah, I mean, that is the deal. He's resting on his laurels. He's got his McLaren. He's got who he is now.
His Celsius.
He's got his Celsius water, which is, I'm not totally sure what it is. Is it water or is it an energy? Is it Red Bull or is it?
I think it's White Claw.
Is it somewhere in between?
I think it's White Claw.
It's non-alcoholic White Claw. There's none chance that there's alcohol in it. Paul McBeth does not do the booze, my friend. He's very anti.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but I can't tell whether it's it's got to be caffeinated, right?
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's, I don't know.
We shouldn't even talk. We're not getting paid for this.
We're not, and I'm not going to drink because I don't drink energy drinks anymore.
Oh, good for you. All right, FPO time. We are in, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, when Katrina Allen was in one of her like deep, dark pits of despair, where it seemingly No putt makes it in the basket.
Last time we played disc golf together, Robin had a Katrina Allen bag on 4 foot dinger.
I did.
Shit.
I did do that. Like, crap. And we both were like, oh, Katrina Allen.
Yep.
Should have taken that bag off. What are you doing?
Yep. Taking the bag off, taking like a second. But you know what
happens. But it's so incredible, the swings with her. And in these last two tournaments, how dominant she's looked. And hitting putts confidently, and you know her drives are generally pretty good, so it's never hit. But all of a sudden, when you see her confidently stepping up at the putting green and hitting putts and not, you know, missing egregious short putts for a professional player, and you're like, wow, look at this. But there's these swings, and you know, it's been we give Katrina a lot of crap for it, but you know what, it's happened with Paige Pierce this year too.
Yeah.
And right now, and they just seem to ebb and flow at different times. And it's like, we always, when Paige is dominant, we're like, this is Paige. This is how she wins.
Yeah.
And like, she's the best player in the world. And Paige has been in a pretty decent lull for a minute now. I mean, basically since Worlds. I mean, she's had.
Just now that you've said it, you've just sparked a beast, and she'll win the next three.
She might.
She's just chilling out. She's like doing videos with Ezra. I haven't watched any of them. Sorry, y'all.
I mean, she's fully capable of it. It's just the consistency of the play is wild. I mean, she's got. Let's see.
She's leading disc golf pro tour in points for FPO.
She is, and she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins. Like. That's bananas. And she won Idlewild, obviously, you know, and Ledgestone. And it's like you just keep having these kind of ups and downs between these players that when they are fully on, but it just doesn't look quite the same. There's not like it's hard to describe. Like when Katrina's really low at those points, it's just the horrible putting.
Right. Katrina, it's easy to just be like, this is what it is. This is what it is. Like, it's not, I can't remember the last time that I was like, her driving's off. Her approach is off.
Uh-huh.
It's like always putting with Kat.
Uh-huh.
With Paige, it could be any one of those three facets.
It could be, yeah.
And sometimes a mixture of a few of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you just hit a rad
and
circle two.
And she still
two.
Finished third at MVP right. Open. So
oh,
it's
totally.
Not like,
no,
but like,
she's not falling apart.
We expect her to be second or third at worst in any one of these tournaments. So,
which she only has one outside of third, or two outside, three. Three outside of third.
Three outside of third. So she has a fifth place at Waco, 11th place at Texas State, and fifth place at Lone Star Classic. So she doesn't like Texas.
She loves Texas. She's just too close to family and friends and probably like hanging out too much to like focus on disc golf.
I guess. But yeah, I guess. Oh, and I had two of those 11 wins that I said were actually, one was a long drive contest and the other was a putting contest. So 9. Should be
right,
nine.
But still too fast. Yeah. She's great at.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's just wild seeing it. It like, and you know what? It made me think really after all this, and be like, man, I want the Euros back. Like, yep. I want Kristen yep. Tatar in the. In,
it's coming. Like, she's planning to be back. I think she's coming back for something soon.
So, I just want that back.
Yeah.
Because I
want Evelina.
You know,
I want them back.
Katrina ended up dominating, just absolutely dominating.
Well, I'm telling you, when the European men come back too, we're going to see new Euros doing work that we're not used to seeing.
I hope so.
It's going to be a whole new world. Like watching Simon play the European Championships, I'm like, okay, we got some dudes being bros over there.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. But I kind of disagree on the MPO side. I think that we're more likely looking at another wave of young Americans that are freaking monsters like Kyle Klein and, you know,
and Gronk,
Gavin Burr,
yeah.
And like Gannon Burr,
yep.
And just like those guys where you're just like, oh my god, they're so
well, and there's young
good.
Kids guaranteed we don't even know about that.
Yeah.
Are, like there's
for
a
sure.
There's a local kid who's stupid good.
Yeah.
It's happening.
So I don't know. I'd love to see it with the, but I think that in terms of elite competition, the Euro FPO side is a lot closer than than the MPO side. Well, and I think that that young guard that is playing here is just as dangerous. So
well, yeah, and I'm excited too because I really hope that the what are they called? What's it called? The like the Euros versus US.
Oh, the President's Cup?
President's Cup comes back. That's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
In years to come. All right, let me run down this. -4, the only FPO player in negatives, Katrina Allen in first place. Kona, good for her. Like, she's a total, like, ebb and flow person as well. At +3 in second. Paige in third at +4. Haley King, +7 in fourth. A two-way tie in fifth with Tiger Borth and Missy Gannon at +8. Heather Young, Ella Hansen, Sarah Hokum all at +9, tied in 7th, and then Owen Scoggins +10 in 10th.
Yeah.
Good times.
I should note other kind of general notes. Calvin Heimberg had a second tournament ace, and apparently...
I went over that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't. Said he'd never had a tournament ace until this year, and it was his second one.
I was
one.
Probably Googling something you asked me
were.
To look up.
You definitely were, but I went over that. Yeah, it's the second tournament. He also had one in Stockton Open.
You're definitely like a let me fucking Google this for you person.
I'm busy
doing
drinking beers.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And I don't have a...
Let's see how it is.
I don't have a cool stool in front of me to put a computer on. Sorry.
There's a table over there.
But it's all the way over there, and it's not set up.
I wish I knew they were delicious Trissy crackers.
Exactly. Anyways, yes, Calvin Heimberg with an ace.
I thought that was
talked
pretty
about
good.
It. Very cool. Very well. Yeah. I told you when I was
Matty O once again with a
top five finish.
A top five finish. He's just kind of that cool cat that's like been doing it, and just he's gonna keep being there. And Andrew Marweed again. I mean, we've been seeing him. And Joel Freeman. Joel Freeman, he's got his outfit game. He's the best dressed man.
He totally is. He just has, and this is totally my opinion, and I could be totally wrong. Hard hitting disc golf news. Like, when he gets down, he gets down. Not Nico status, but when he's like not executing, he gets in weird ways that I don't like.
What do you mean?
He just is like sullen and like, like pissed off at every shot. And it's like,
oh, okay.
Oh, you missed a fucking 85 foot throw in.
Yeah.
You hit the cage and now you're pissed at the world. It's like, you know, just put it closer on your second shot and you know how to do that. But
now that we're getting more like mic coverage, like you hear Ricky every shot. Ricky is talking to every single one of his shots. You hear in the background and it'll be like, it's like, oh, crap. And it's like, oh, and it's perfect again. And Ricky does the same thing. But
he's like, oh, farts, oh, farts, oh, shit. And then he does some Hail Marys for cussing. Oh,
shucks.
Yeah. He says a bad word, and he's like, oh, no. I take it back. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I was just kidding. Just kidding. It's fine. I would never do that.
I was really pissed with myself. Oh,
I was really
I'm so sorry. I was really PO'd.
PO'd at myself.
I was upset. I was upset, people. I apologize for
swearing. I know I can do better.
I can do better.
Do you think when he gives himself affirmations in the mirror, it's not actually like you can do? It's like apologizing himself, like you're better than this. Like, I'm sorry for what I did to you. Like, we can do this.
I don't know. I'm so scared,
dude. I love Ricky.
I love Ricky.
I love Ricky.
So
this
much.
Is like the
he
year
went back
of my...
to his hat game. Yep. I've been liking hat free Ricky. He's
By the
a
way,
handsome man.
Let's take a step back. Sorry, back to Joel Freeman.
Okay,
on point. Aside from Joel Freeman, UC, I know you're listening. The most on-point brand in the world for shirts is Discmania.
Yeah.
Their shirts are the most fire
you know
shirts
what?
You can get
this is how,
in disc golf.
How fucked up my... So you got me that Simon Lizotte shirt.
Yep.
And I wore it, and my wife told me it looks like a shower curtain. It hurt my feelings.
She's hella pregnant.
I was
take
really,
everything she says.
I was really sad.
That is messed up.
And I was like, I looked at her and I'm like, I'm going to get you back with that one someday. You're going to wear a dress.
No, you're not.
You're going to
don't ever do that.
You think you like
Robin,
it.
Robin, don't ever do that.
I'm going to do it.
Don't.
I'm that fucked up.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I'm going to wait.
You're going to do it at fucking 8.5 months pregnant?
No, I'm already there, dude.
You look like a shower. You just look like a shower. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, Robin.
That dress looks like a minivan.
Dude, not worth it. Don't ever do that. Don't do it or you're sleeping in the shedio for a while.
Yeah, I will.
I'm going to come to podcast.
Hey, it's like, about to get new flooring. It's going to be great. It's going to be nice in here.
You should put it. I'm telling you. Instead
there's
of a,
hella room for
instead, activities. Instead of a couch, put a nice little futon here.
Some bunk beds?
You can slowly convert it to a bedroom for Dez. Like, just start it now.
Yeah.
Just start it now.
Anyways, my point with Joel Freeman was I see a lot of arguments in disc golf that are based around like basically trying to have disc golf emulate the professionalism of ball golf. Or emulate just about anything about ball golf, like the way they run their tournaments, the way they structure their sponsorship, the way they everything. And it seems to come from like one very loud person. But I think that's where it comes from. Anyways, I don't think disc golf needs to try to be anything other than disc golf. And anybody that's trying to compare it to anything else, I think you're just cool. Go back to ball golf. But I love Joel Freeman getting out there with his loud clothes and having a good time. And he's been playing great. So I enjoy it.
You know what? That brings another comparison that I started. Oh, no. Sorry. Oh, no.
Joe's watching football instead.
Yeah.
And
so I have a player who just did something bad. So do you remember how I just compared Joel Freeman slightly to Nico LaCastro?
Uh-huh.
I think in all ways, he's very comparable to Nico LaCastro.
Mm.
Clothing-wise, Nico goes, like, too far.
Yeah.
It's, like, nothing matches. It's just loud to be loud.
Yeah, it'd be like if you swapped out half of Joel Freeman's outfit with, like, army surplus.
Yeah.
Then...
No, it's like if you took, like, listen, Joel Freeman's taking care of his stuff. Let's say right now, his tops and his bottoms match, they're clean, they work together.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
It's if you took...
Nico is that, but one half of it was purchased.
I don't know, army surplus, I think it's like like Joel Freeman probably in his, like, RV closet has, like, on hangers, the outfits together, so you know they work. Mm-hmm. And Nico goes, ooh, I like this shirt. Ooh, I like these pants. And just puts them together.
Uh-huh.
So they just got lots of similarities. Like Joel is the Nico light.
I don't know about this. I think that that's a huge disservice to Joel because I've never seen him do anything as demonstrative as...
That's true.
And like the putting, like this is just... you're being mean to Joel Freeman. No,
he's nowhere close to Nico, but I've seen him be, like, upset more than I would like to see.
I mean, I've seen Big Germ throw a tantrum, too, but I don't compare him to Nico level, so.
There have been times that we've probably compared him to Nico level. Like, he's had a couple moments, but he's also the one to, like, call people on that. Like, he's gotten better at, recognizing it and being like, stop it, me. And then calling others out to be like, hey, chill out.
Yeah. All right. Well, Green Mountain Championship. I don't know what else to say about this aside from the fact that it's in progress and we should have done picks beforehand
and it's a
and released
freaking
it before.
Amazing, amazing course.
And we love the course and I've been enjoying the coverage. And
I'm setting my mic down just so y'all know in case you hear a noise to fill beverages for Robin and I.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, do you really need that? Fine. Whatever. So, any case, Green Mountain Championship, and the other thing that's coming up pretty soon is we got the Match Play Championship coming up for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. We'll probably talk in depth about that next week, more about the actual finalized matchups and whatnot. But that is coming, and this tournament is going to determine at least a couple of those matchups. So that I'm looking forward to that, and yeah. Green Mountain Championship live on DGN. If you're not a subscriber, you should get on it. Joe is doing a really terrible job pouring equal amounts of beer into cups. And this is just a horrible, horrible display.
I did a very bad first pour, but I did a great balance.
Yes, great. something that, like, I don't know, your son could do, like pouring cups in. I mean, come on, Joe.
My son's very bright.
He is. He's very bright. He probably reads better than I do.
He's good at that. He's good at that.
But you know, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything about what's happened so far. I watched them live today. It was great.
Good, because I didn't watch anything, and I don't know where scores are. So.
Oh, okay. So, I, you know.
Can I make picks?
No.
Because I honestly haven't watched anything
at all. No.
You know what I have
watched?
The
tournament started, and I don't trust you. I think you might.
I haven't, but and I'm not going to. But you know what I will say right now, and I think I bring it up every episode. I really, really enjoy, and almost more than watching live coverage or post-produced right now, and maybe it's just because like my mind is so much on football, I love the Uliberry Big Germ plus guest preview rounds with Jomez.
Yeah, those are great.
I love those. They are so good. Like, I am entertained.
Yeah. It was every Simon time. On this time?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Quarantined in Canada.
Fun fact, the reason, according to Paul Uliberry, that the Heiser is called a Heiser is because when you release the disc, you say, "Hi, sir." That's.
But also, according to Simon Lazat, it's because the guy who started its last name was Heiser.
So, you know, it's good times. But anyway, do you ready to do a deer review, Joe?
I am.
All right. It is time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we're reviewing the M Model OS by Prodigy Discs. It's a 6-speed, 4-glide, -1 turn, 3-fade, mid-range disc, and sent to us by CEP, Christopher Eplin. And we're pairing that with Bastard's Midnight Brunch by Arrogant Bastard Brewing Company. It's a 12.7% coffee stout. They say depth charge double bastard ale aged in bourbon barrels and maple syrup barrels. Holy moly. So my first question is, for our beer connoisseurs out there, do they move it from a bourbon barrel to a maple syrup barrel? I assume they have to, right? So they first do it because there's no like maple syrup and bourbon barrels, so they would have.
Well,
to,
do they ever age bourbon in maple barrels?
I guess they could.
So maybe it was a bourbon that was barrel aged.
What is the market
maple
for these barrels? Like, or do they just like take a bourbon barrel and like dump a bunch of maple syrup in it just for shits and giggles, and then package bourbon maple syrup and sell it, and then go from there. I mean, it could be
very,
any number.
Very
of
possible.
But I'm not totally sure on this one. So definitely has, as I take a sniff, it's definitely got a coffee smell to it, like coffee and sweetness, and that syrupy like caramel sort of smell to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can,
yeah.
Not as boozy as I thought it would be. Honestly, it's definitely got some punch to it at the end. This is 2016.
It's got big IBU. It's got it's a little hot, like boozy wise, but there's not. It's not. I'll tell you right now, for someone, if you enjoy Arrogant Bastard and you ever had a double bastard, it is nowhere as harsh as those beers. It's definitely tamed down. You do, like Robin said, at the finish, get the big IBUs, but it is much sweeter. That's that barrel aging. I think it just the coffee piece to it too maybe just settles it out. But it's kind of like, if you have like almost like a vanilla-ish coffee, but it's really, really black coffee that's brewed like hardcore with little heat. Like, it's nice. There's sweetness. It's like Ron said, it is mellow for a 12.7.
Yeah.
But it's not something you can like chug.
It's got a lot of the like malty flavor to it. Like anything you could attach to that, like malt, like caramel, toffee, maple syrup, obviously, as it's in the name.
Like, I'm already planning for my hangover tomorrow.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's going to be really great when I have to wake up and make all my kids' lunches in the morning.
You know what it's like? You know, so when I go back to coffee, it's like a heavily roasted coffee.
Yeah.
Like it's got that little bit of like char smokish flavor in there too.
Yeah. So it's pretty complex in terms of all the different flavors in there. The finish is pretty bitter. Like a little sour almost.
And kind of, it definitely dries your mouth out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Like so, a coffee would. Like, you know, I don't know the sour. You know what it really is? It's acidic.
Acidic, yeah.
That's more what it is than sour, and that's what dries it out.
Yep.
It's pretty acidic.
Yeah, I totally agree on all that. All right, you ready to talk about the disc?
Yes.
Or do you have any other thoughts about
No, I think we kind of nailed it down. I think we'll come back to it. I mean, it's a super... So
the color is like an amber. Like, yeah. Like a deep, like, amber.
Or
like,
maybe just a brown ale, even. Like, no, ambery brown. Yeah. But here's the thing.
It's usually not translucent at all.
We drink out of cans or bottles. This, we have a single bottle, so we have it in glasses, so we're able to see it a lot more. It poured. It didn't have a big head at all. Like, the head went away very quickly. It is a syrupy little beverage. All right. So M Model OS, I'm going to go out on a crazy limb right now and let y'all know the M Model OS in base plastic, which we threw it in, is not OS.
Yeah, I think the OS could have been left off this disc pretty easily and it would have made, like if it was just the M model.
Yeah.
Or the M Model S. Or something along those lines, I think it would make a lot of sense because I did not get overstability.
There's US more than OS.
Yeah. So once again, six speed, four glide, minus one turn, three fade. I'll contest two of these numbers.
Me too.
A five speed and yep. it's a two fade at most.
At most. I'd probably call it a one fade.
And the one minus one is correct.
Yeah.
Yep. And the four glide is fine too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I just didn't see overstable really hardly at all. Like I saw a stable disc with a little bit of turn here and there and a little bit of fade, but I did not see overstable. It was not a beefy disc by any means.
I got more.
We have it in the base grip plastic. There's really only the purpose of these discs was to have, you know, like low level discs. So part of it could be the fact that it's,
yeah,
they're supposed to be inexpensive, you know,
beginner discs.
They're supposed to get people ready. So from that context, having a, you know, a base plastic, you know, mid range disc, of course, like I have Jawbreaker Buzzes that I use for straight to turnover shots, with the Buzz, which is generally a relatively stable mid-range disc, to even overstable in its beginning throws. But when you put it in base plastic, it's pretty understable, and you got to be a little careful with it, a little bit of more touch. So it could be that this mold itself is in some other plastic, possibly overstable, but that's not what they meant to do with this line of discs. So
I will say, much like the P Model S, which we talked about, because Prodigy is Prodigy, even their most baseline plastics
is still
way better than any baseline plastic there is. It's not stiff. It's not slick. It has a little bit of give. It is grippy for a baseline plastic. I really enjoyed the plastic for a baseline. If y'all didn't know, I pretty much despise Pro D and DX. Like those plastics, I hate how they feel. They're slick and firm and gross and plastic, and that's not how this is. So that already gives it a big leg up. But like Robin said, I can test the same numbers. I might even call it a one at the end. For me, most of my throws started on hyzer, flipped up, turned over, and held a slight turnover, and maybe finished straight. Like I never had a really big finish back to the left.
Yeah.
There were times, and I will say, when I throw discs like this, because I power grip pretty much everything at this point, there is a very good chance for some oat, which makes things turn a little bit funkier too. So that's a good reason why mine maybe flew that way. But definitely after the first like throw and then multiple throws after, I was like, why is it OS? I don't understand.
Yeah, I think just mostly them gearing it towards, you know, intermediate to beginner type players, and the fact that it's in a base plastic.
I'll tell you right now, this versus if I'm probably similar price range, if I'm getting a starter Prodigy pack versus a starter Innova pack, I will take this over a 158 DX Rock or 158 DX Shark all day.
I don't know. Sharks are pretty sweet, man.
Not a 142 DX.
Well, I know, but you can find max weight starter packs out there.
Yeah. I think I still like this better.
All right.
I mean, here's the thing. It was predictable. There wasn't any part of me that was like, ooh, that one got away with me. Ooh, it's squirrely or blah, blah. Like, I honestly was like, after first, I was like, oh, this is what it does. Mm-hmm. Every throw after it, I threw it the same way, knowing what it did, and it did it.
Yep.
It's not, well, I don't know if we want to roll. Do you want to just roll
straight through?
So with that said, that is not something I need. You know, I've got pilots to do pretty much the same thing, even though it's a tick slower, but I can throw them well enough that I can have them go that same distance or hold that Anheuser or whatever. I also now have a 300 A3 that is pretty much straight to turnover, which is fun and silly. I've got discs that, like, between my Eclipse pilot, my Electron pilot, and my 300... Is it 300? Yeah, 300 is the base, right? I'm not missing a step.
Yes.
So between those three discs, like, I can do everything that I would need out of this disc, and possibly more.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that if their goal was to create a inexpensive, beginner-friendly mid-range disc, I think they achieved that and did a great job.
If we had 10 of these, this is what I'd start giving to people.
Yeah, totally. Out. So I really like that. But again, I throw buzzes for this slot, and I have a Jawbreaker buzz that I can do this with, and I think get further out. That's kind of how I feel about the Immodel OS. As for the beer, Bastard's Midnight Brunch by Arrogant Bastard. 12.7%. I was hoping for a thicker, more like stronger coffee flavor than I got. And I don't know if it's because it's 2016 and it's not something that's meant to age well. Typically stouts do age well, so I'm not sure about that, but
I think for me, this
I was not expecting something so thin and so acidic. Yep. I was expecting thicker and a stronger, sweeter flavor than I got, and I'm not a fan of this. I don't think they executed this very well.
I don't hate it. Here's a few things I have. One, it being from Arrogant Bastard, I expected more bitter. I expected to be like a fucking, like,
okay,
oh, fuck you, dude. Like, let me show you what's up. Like, almost like, you know, if you like spicy things and it's like, oh, you want to notch up to the super spice? Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Two, actually, the more I'm drinking, the flavor I'm getting is almost like an aspartame sweetness at the end, too.
Okay.
That I like don't I dig. That. Like, the, a fake sweetness, like a fake sugar.
Yeah, and no, that's not just good.
Like, it's kind of like if you have like a black coffee and you just put like Splenda in it almost, which I don't dig. I don't hate the beer. I was expecting it to be brutal, to be honest. And I kind of was excited about that. I was excited for it to be like, oh, fuck you, dude. Oh, shit. And it's much more tame than I thought. I mean, it's 12.7. It's going to do work.
Yeah.
I think it's worth just... for the experience sharing, you know, it's something that, like, if, I mean, I'm not going to buy again, but if I ever had another bottle of it, it would be like four or five of us taking like a small glass. It's not two people splitting it.
Of course.
It's not something to solo drink and therefore, like, you don't bring it on the course. Like, that's not a, it's not, maybe like if you drink like espresso in like a small shot, like maybe that's a fun way and that's just enough. But beyond that, like, it's really not.
Yeah.
Anything we're into.
I totally agree. I'll just hand over the review. This is Gronk taking a shit on your fantasy team for the week. That's how I feel about this.
Either because you're going against him or because he's sitting on your bench in a league that Tom Brady is playing against you in and pooping on your chest.
And then the game going to overtime where these players can continue to shit on your life. You know, that could happen. Yeah. I guess this won't go to overtime. It's only 1 point difference. We're definitely not watching football while doing this podcast.
Not at all.
Definitely not. All right. That's all we got for you in this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. If you enjoy the show, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. We do pre-show recordings before every single show. And if you have run through all our episodes and you're looking for more, there's like 100-something-odd pre-shows that you can burn through with all kinds of hilarious content. And whenever we interview people like Tyler Brickley or infamous has a negative connotation, right?
I don't think so.
Ian Anderson, the Godfather, he comes on those pre-shows too and gives us all kinds of dirty information. So check it out, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast, and become a subscriber, support the show. We really appreciate all of you that are already doing that as well. So next, join our Slack group. You can hit our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. There's a join Slack link. It's an incredible community of disc golfers chatting about disc golf and tons of other stuff all day long. And we'll be there. We'll welcome you too. So check that out. Our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. Join Slack and you know, join the group. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, enjoy the Green Mountain Championship. And get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.